Boy, the Way Glenn Miller played. Songs that made the hit parade. Guys Like Us, We Had It Made. Those were the days. And you knew who you were then. Goyles were goyles. And men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. Didn't need no welfare states. Everybody pulled his weight. Gee, our old LaSalle ran great. Those were the days. I was going to sing it, but, you know. Can't hit the high note, you know. Well, I hate to burst your bubble, but Glenn Miller died in a plane crash. Some even suspected him of being a spy for the American government. Songs did make the hit parade, but that show was replaced long ago by American Bandstand, and today, TRL. That's Total Request Live, for those of you who are MTV challenged. Guys like you, Archie, did have it made. But what about guys not like you? Like black guys, and Hispanic guys, and Jewish guys, and gay guys. And what about the girls? For sure, they didn't have it made. Yeah, those were the days. Girls were girls. But girls were excluded from much of society. They were told their place was to be barefoot and pregnant in the kitchen. Men were men. What kind of man delights in his own ignorance and is proud of his bigotry? Like all presidents, Herbert Hoover did many good things, but he's also widely criticized for other actions. As head of the American Relief Administration under President Wilson, he organized shipments of food for the starving millions in Europe. When challenged by a critic that he was aiding and abetting communism, he retorted, 20 million people are starving. Whatever their politics, they shall be fed. Unfortunately, Hoover was also commander-in-chief the day the stock market crashed in 1929. And as the scapegoat for the Depression, he was overwhelmingly defeated by Roosevelt in 1932. We didn't need no welfare states. Why then were they established some 70 years ago? Why is Social Security still such a hot political issue today? How has this societal program instituted originally as a safety net to help the poor and those in need become an untouchable entitlement for those of every income level? If you were male and white and Protestant, then it was relatively easy to pull your weight. But not everybody was able to pull his weight because not everybody had the same opportunity in this country. The playing field was certainly not then and probably never will truly be level. And when was the last time you cruised down Harbor Boulevard in a LaSalle? I guarantee hardly anyone under 40 in this room has even seen a picture of a LaSalle. An Edsel? Sure. But a LaSalle? Not too many of them are running, period, let alone great today. So those might have been the days then, but they are certainly not the days today. You can't go back. So you might as well go forward. Let's face it. Our society today is consumed with reminiscing about the past. Each generation comes, and having to confront all the changes of our world, waxes poetic about how it was when they were children and adolescents. Archie Bunker did it more than 30 years ago on television. 30 years since All in the Family, that's right. And we continue to do it today. My generation tends to wax poetic about the late 70s and 1980s. And now that I have a daughter, 10 years old, my oldest, who has discovered the radio, I am forced to listen to Radio Disney every moment that I am in the car with her. And one of the most popular and most often played songs a few years ago on Radio Disney was by a group called Bowling for Soup. The song was simply entitled 1985. It's about a woman who had all the typical hopes and dreams of a young adult back in the 80s, but now finds herself today stuck in her yellow, gas-guzzling SUV with two teenagers of her own who tease her because she is preoccupied with her own youth, centered in 1985. She waxes poetic about when MTV used to play videos, how she knew every line to every classic 80s movie, and wonders when reality became television instead of television reflecting reality. She asks, whatever happened to sitcoms and game shows? Yes, it's fun to reminisce and to remember simpler times when life seemed less complicated, when technology was advancing rather than controlling the world, when we were young and innocent. But you can't go back, so you might as well go forward. But that doesn't mean that the past has nothing to teach us. Some time ago, I was sent the following email of unknown authorship. Perhaps some of you received it too. To all the kids who survived the 1930s, 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, first, we survived being born to mothers who smoked and or drank while they carried us. They took aspirin, ate blue cheese dressing, tuna from a can, and didn't get tested for diabetes. Then after that trauma, our baby cribs were covered with brightly colored lead-based paints. We had no child-proof lids on medicine bottles, doors, or cabinets, and when we rode our bikes, we had no helmets, not to mention the risks we took hitchhiking. As children, we would ride in cars with no seatbelts or airbags. Riding in the back of a pickup on a warm day was always a special treat. We drank water from the garden hose, not bottled. We shared one soft drink with four friends from one bottle, and no one actually died from this. We ate cupcakes, white bread, and real butter, and drank soda pop with lots of sugar in it. But we weren't overweight. We were not fat because we were always outside playing with our friends instead of inside on the computer. We would leave home in the morning and play all day, as long as we were back before the streetlights came on. No one was able to reach us all day, and we were okay. We would spend hours building go-karts out of scraps, and then ride it down the hill, only to find out we forgot the brakes. After running into the bushes a few times, we learned to solve the problem. We didn't have PlayStations, Nintendo, Xbox, iPhone, no video games at all, no 150 channels on cable, no videotape movies, no surround sound, no cell phones, no personal computers, no internet, and no chat rooms. We had friends, and we went outside, and we found new ones. We fell out of trees, we got cut, we broke bones, we chipped teeth, and there were no lawsuits from any of these accidents. We ate worms and mud pies made from dirt, and the worms did not live in us forever. We were given BB guns for our 10th birthdays, made up games with sticks and tennis balls, and although we were told it would happen, we didn't put out too many eyes. We rode our bikes or walked to a friend's house and knocked on the door, or we rang the bell, or just walked in and talked to them. Little League had tryouts, and not everyone made the team. And those who didn't had to learn to live with the disappointment. Imagine that. The idea of a parent bailing us out if we broke the law was unheard of. They actually sided with the law. This generation has produced some of the best risk takers, problem solvers, and inventors ever. The past 50 years have been an explosion of innovation and new ideas. We had freedom, failure, success, and responsibility, and we learned how to deal with it all. And you are one of them. As we say in Jewish, mazel tov. Congratulations. You might want to share this with others who have had the luck to grow up as kids before the lawyers and government regulated our lives for our own good. And while you're at it, forward this email to your kids so they will know how brave their parents were. Kind of makes you want to run through the house with scissors, doesn't it? Again, it's fun to reminisce and romanticize about our childhood and adolescent years. But how quickly we forget how many children died in automobile crashes because seatbelts and child safety seats were not required. How quickly we forget about the women that were battered by their husbands or boyfriends as the police looked the other way, and those who died because of back alley abortions. How quickly we forget about all the children that went missing with no Amber Alert to help find them. How quickly we forget that this country had some real serious problems that took years, decades to address, many of which have still not been solved. Yes, we had friends. Yes, we played outside. Yes, we watched much less television and did it without all the modern electrical entertainment devices that our children have today. But we forget that not every child survived those years. Not every family lived as well as ours. Not every gender, racial, and religious group had equality. And our society and government were far from fair, just, and honest. Like I said, it's fun to wax poetic about the past. But you can't go back. So we might as well go forward. For Jews, that is the essential message of our high holidays, which are coming up in about 6 weeks. The 10 days of awe afford us the opportunity to reflect on the past, but not to dwell in the past. We look back at our actions and deeds of the past year, but the purpose of doing so is not to lament the changes we have had to encounter or to wish we could bring it all back again. Yes, hindsight is always 20/20, but you can't go back. So you might as well go forward. I believe that is what those 10 days and the Jewish religious tradition challenges us to do. On Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, we read from our sacred books, the Torah, which we keep in the ark there, a special portion from Genesis chapter 22. The story is known as the Akedat Yitzchak, the binding of Isaac. Abraham is tested by God to show his faith by taking his most beloved son Isaac up to Mount Moriah and sacrificing him there. At the very last moment, an angel appears and tells Abraham not to do any harm to Isaac, but to sacrifice a ram caught in a nearby thicket in his place. Over the centuries, Jewish commentators have argued and debated and discussed the actions of Abraham, of Isaac, and of God. Some praise the actions of Abraham and say that he passed the test by showing his willingness to sacrifice Isaac. Others criticize Abraham's blind obedience. Some portray Isaac as a brave, willing participant, while others point out that he was a 34-year-old man who allowed himself to be led to the slaughter. Many commentators are also troubled by and critical of God's request. But before this little encounter on Mount Moriah, even before Isaac is born, Abraham is called by God to a much more difficult task. God says to him, Lech Lecha, go forth from your native land and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. According to the Torah, this call comes at Haran, where the family had settled. This place in Mesopotamia means crossroads and indicated far more than just the physical location. Abraham and the Jewish people yet to come were at a literal and spiritual crossroads. Abraham had to decide if he was going to accept the challenge of becoming a monotheist and if he was going to become the father of a great people. To do this, though, he could not remain in the place where he was. To grow and progress as a person and a leader, he had to move on. He had to leave the place in which he was most comfortable. He had to lech lecha, to go forth from where he literally and spiritually was. According to the biblical text, Abraham was already 75 years old. What was his response to God's call? Did he say, sorry, God, I'm just going to kick back here in my rocking chair and collect my biblical security check? Did he say, you know, God, that's a great idea, but you know, I'm happy staying here where I am, reminiscing about the past and how good the good old days really were? Of course, he didn't say those things. His response was to go. Not just go, but go forth. Go from his land. Go from his father's house. He had to leave behind his comfort zone. Leave behind everything he was accustomed to. And most difficult of all, he had to leave behind his father's values and standards. But Abraham's journey was not his alone. It's ours as well. We too stand at the crossroads. We can look back at where we were, at how things were, at who we were, or we can look forward to where we are going, how things could be, and who we can become. It's not an easy task, nor a short, simple journey, but it is one on which we are called to embark. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch put it beautifully when he said, "This is one journey which must be made alone. One must become a stranger in the world to view it clearly, a wanderer to find its resting point. Abraham is God's possession, not the world's. The aloneness of Abraham foreshadows that all religious seekers and above all, that all the people of Israel in their historic solitude. Most people today want quick, canned answers to their questions. Most people don't want to spend their time searching. They want to arrive now at where they are going, wherever that happens to be. They want to feel and be grounded, even if that mooring is in quicksand. That's why New Age beliefs and fundamentalism are so appealing to so many people. Such philosophies offer answers to life's questions without any necessary thinking or searching. Many people also believe that the past was better than the present or future, because the past, no matter good or bad, at least is known. The present and future are yet to be determined. But Abraham and God's call to Lech Lecha, to go forth, shows us a better, even more difficult way. Only when we look forward will we find who we are and what we can be. Rabbi Shmuel of Sokotov used to say that the call Lech Lecha was not meant only for the first Hebrew, but for all who were created in the image of God, meaning that one should take the path that is appropriate for one's character. Lech Lecha. Go to yourself. Be what you can be. And who knows? Maybe one day there will be a television show that reminisces about today. And if there is, perhaps the theme song will go something like this. On my iPhone, Green Day played. $4 a gallon, we all paid. Cell phone service that did not fade. Those were the days. And you knew who they were then. Red states right, and left ones dem. Only cared about ourselves and our own ken. Lived off our pensions and Social Security lent a hand. Drove a Prius to save the land. Those were the days. Those will always be the days. But you can't go back. So you might as well go forward. May each of us, Lech Lecha, go forth from where we are to where we could be. Lech Lecha, go forth from who we are to who we could be. Lech Lecha, go forth from today to tomorrow, rooted in the past, but moored in the future, always reaching, always searching for betterment and advancement, going from strength to strength with renewed goodness, blessing, and peace. Amen.